Hello and welcome to Too Fast, Too Forever. Welcome to family. We chose this one. This is episode 345, Life in the Fast Lane, number 24. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And Joe, we are so near the end of Too Fast, Too Furious.
We're so close. It feels like they're just toying with us, right? Like it's like, remember, we always have like time discrepancy weirdnesses.
Like, your description of them toying with us is that they made a movie 21 years ago and they just told a story. And now that we're breaking it down minute by minute, they're somehow like retroactively toying with us, with like teasing us with like minutes left.
No, it's just that, you know, we're always like, oh yeah, like we didn't expect this scene to be this long. And this is one of them.
I will tell you that this time, I've been using scripts.com as the basis for the dialogue for the entirety of our minute thing. So years, right? The first movie, the second movie.
Years, literally years. Okay.
I open up the link and I just like in the document, I keep the link in there, just like know where I left off. And they must have changed their URL structure, like the hierarchy, because I clicked there and went to their homepage and I was like, oh no, am I going to have to manually transcribe? And no, it wasn't. They just like changed the way that they did things or whatever. And I don't know what, like the site looks the same. It still looks like shit.
So they just redirected everything to a different direction and your link was broken.
It's like a different thing. And yeah. And like the page number is different, but I was just like, we're so close to the end here. Don't bail on me now. And no, it's fine. But
is there a Tokyo Drift one, by the way?
I haven't looked because I'm worried. But we don't have to get there till like October or whatever, right? So it's fine.
October?
That's a future problem. Well, we're doing all the deleted scenes and stuff.
Ah, that's right. Okay.
Trailers, deleted scenes, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
I don't.
Anyway.
Should I look? Should I know?
No, because that's my backyard.
No, I know, but I mean, like, should I look just to just be like, okay?
No, I think there's I'm confident I can find a version of the script somewhere.
Okay, fair enough. Understood.
But today we are talking about minute 99.
You held up your end. Your records are clean.
So maybe there were 6 bags. I guess we can call it even.
Agent Dunn.
Sir.
We found some more evidence.
Come on, let's take it to the truck.
Don't drop the soap, big homie.
I hope you know that when he gets out, he's gonna kill your ass.
He ain't getting out.
I'll see you soon.
You think he's gonna get out?
So in this minute, Agent Markham confirms that Brian and Roman's criminal records are now clean thanks to their help in taking down Carter Verone. Roman walks over to his car and removes 3 more bags of cash from the trunk. He gives the money to Markham, who has Agent Dunn and another agent take it away as evidence. Markham shakes Roman's hand in thanks and walks away, gone from the movie. Roman taunts Carter, who's being treated for his injuries. Carter fires back. Brian warns Roman of a possible future. Carter will, quote, kill his ass when he gets out of prison. And that's when and how the minute ends. My favorite thing in this minute, I don't know if you saw them this time, you didn't notice them last time, but those 2 guys behind Roman and Brian are back.
I was watching.
They are doing things that make even less sense. So, okay. So previously in Too Fast, Too Furious, 2 guys in suits walk up from the back of the frame to the middle of the frame. And they're just looking very intently at a piece of wood or something. This time, they drop the thing and leave and go pick up a big piece of wood. So last time, one guy picks up a thing, he looks at it, he hands it to the other guy, the other guy's like, and the minute ends. This time, the second guy's like, and he drops the thing. And then they walk over, they literally pick up like a piece of driftwood. We cut away, and then when we cut back, those extras are gone. So it's like they were ghosts, they were never there. But like, these 2 guys are my favorite 2 guys in Too Fast, Too Furious.
So I was watching them, and in watching them, knowing that you were talking about it last time, I discovered the crime scene photography lady. She was top tier. But I have some other tidbits that fall along these lines that were actually my favorite part of this minute.
Yeah, no, go for it. Because the only other thing that I have, like, that I really liked was, I never really noticed that as the three paramedics are tending to Carter's wounds, one of them has a shotgun literally drawn on Carter as he's sitting there. Like, he's not moving. Like, he's given up. You know what I mean? But, like...
Okay, so you're exactly where I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Because when we cut from Roman's face saying, like, don't drop the soap, and they cut to Carter,
mm-hmm.
there is two customs agents and two paramedics working on him.
Oh, and then we zoom in, and then there's three in one?
When we zoom in, we add this black guy that's, like, right, like, a paramedic that's working on his, like, knee or something. And, like, milliseconds later, they add a third EMT, and then also there's now one customs agent, and the shotgun is pointed at Carter.
Very interesting. That is, like,
so that's why I added some addendums to your notes.
I was
here.
Like, I don't remember adding these parentheticals, but I guess I did. I don't know, but like, nobody's gonna notice that unless you're looking for that kind of thing.
That's what I mean.
But
so it was just...
it's wild that no one else noticed that.
And you were watching it, and you had commented on the three mm-hmm. paramedics, and I was like, what is he talking about? There's two paramedics. So, like, I started changing your thing, and then I got
this
a little
is
bit
like
further.
Is the dress blue and black or silver and gold or whatever? It's just like, both. No. Is it two paramedics and two, or is it two and two, or is it three and one? It's like, well, no, it's both. They just fucked up.
Yeah. Also, a little movie magic that I really liked in this scene was Roman's car is, like, all the way down past those cops that are picking up the driftwood. So he, like...
Just
he's
books
like,
it?
He did, what? No, he just, like... They, like, show him sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
He essentially runs, like, 50 feet, goes and gets the bags, and then drops them again. Because, like, his car is
somehow,
not anywhere
somehow,
near
again,
him.
Again, all of this with one bad arm. So he probably took two or three trips to do this money.
Yes,
he's
exactly.
not carrying three bags of cash with one arm.
But he's just instantaneously back. He teleported. It was pretty cool.
But there's nothing else going on. Like, there's nothing else new here. It's just goofiness with the extras and stuff.
It's just goofy with this with the extras. There's so many extras. They're constantly moving. There's actually two more paramedics that are in the ambulance that aren't the paramedics that are the three that are working on Carter. So who the fuck knows? There's who cops knows? Everywhere. Detectives everywhere. There's the crime scene photographer. That doesn't take any pictures. She just walks around with a camera pointed at the ground.
Very cool.
Very cool. But I had almost an identical. Good. Keep going. But your trivia question is top tier. I was going to ask nearly an identical one. So the
only other thing that we've not really talked about is the music. The music, the score is almost over. There's one more track on the score. So in this one is Last Questions. There's a thing called Farewell, which is not, we have not gotten there yet. And then there's a thing called Sweet, and I don't know exactly what that is yet. I'm not getting ahead, but we're still in Last Questions by David Arnold, so that's on there. But the trivia question that I have, and we also need to come up with a minute, and this is the kind of thing, like, I think in the past we've asked as two separate questions, but I think asking as one question is more annoying and more difficult.
I think so too, and I really liked your spin on it, but exactly, go ahead.
My question is, after Markham confirms that Roman's criminal record is clean, how many additional bags of cash does Roman remove from his car? How many total bags have they turned in?
Now.
So Roman says, oh, I guess there were three more. There's six bags total. So he adds three. There are six. We could say that he adds three. There
two.
Are, yeah.
He adds two. There are six.
What was your version, or what was your similar question, or what were you going to say for this trivia question?
How many total bags were there? And then when I read yours, I was like, oh, this is absolutely perfect. Excellent, excellent.
Because, like, I think it's like he adds three more.
Yes.
But how many, what should the totals be?
Four.
Okay.
So it should be like two and four.
Yep.
Three and four.
Two and six, three and six?
Two and six, three and six. Because that's I think, the most miserable iteration of that, right?
After Markham confirms that Roman's criminal record is clean, how many additional bags of cash does Roman remove from his car?
Or should
how
we
many...
do one and four? Because that is three of a difference, and three was one of the numbers. Do you like that?
One more.
Oh, God,
four
you
total.
Just made it another answer. You didn't replace the one.
Well, what's also, like, fucked up about this is that, like, you know, I don't know if this is ever, like, proven right, but it's like when you have, like, multiple choices, like, well, oh, there's, like, so there's three different that are four. So four is probably the answer. You know what I mean? Like, there's exactly, only two sixes, but it's not.
It's not, yeah.
So the answer is three more, making six total. That is a brutal question.
Yeah, and there's every iteration of fuckery to... Yeah. Okay.
So what do you want to do as the minute name? Minute 99.
The first thing you said when you had were announcing it's minute 99 and we don't have a title yet, the first thing I thought was, what's in the bag? What's in the bag?
Minute 99, what's in the bag?
Can you put a 7 in there somewhere? Like, where would a 7 fit? Like, W-A-7 apostrophe S?
Oh, you mean in the title?
Yes, yeah. Because a 7 has nothing to do with any of the numbers, but that's what I was referencing.
I know. I mean, you could just do a... Well, they replaced the V with 7, right? So what's in the...
But V doesn't look like a 7.
No, I know.
That's why I was going to do the T.
7 hats in the bag?
Yeah, that looks really dumb.
People be like, do you mean to do that? It's like, yeah, kind of.
I guess. Maybe. And 7 has nothing to do with I liked adding the 7 because of all the number things, 7 is not one of them.
No. Correct.
It's not, absolutely not. It's not 7.
Doesn't help.
Doesn't help at all. So if you're looking at the title, you're like, okay, here we go. It's like, no, that has nothing to do with.
Anything else to say about this minute?
Oh, that's going to be the title of the episode too. Fuck, that's awesome. I just
It's going to be very public. It's going to make it look like I had a stroke or a typo that I didn't check.
Yeah. 7 hats in the bag? They're going to be like, is there hats in the bag? Did you miss it? Did you skip not put a space? What the fuck? Okay,
7 hats in the bag.
Perfect. I love it. 7 hats in the bag.
Cool. Okay. So, Joe, on the streets, news about the Fast and Furious, there is so much, because we have not
You keep
done...
saying this, but and I don't remember much of it, but I will as you keep talking.
We have not recorded a Life in the Fast Lane. I was looking.
It was like 6 weeks or something, right?
No. It's not that bad. Since
5?
February 5. It's been
31 weeks.
Days.
Yeah. Okay, 4 weeks.
Because we're recording a little bit late this week. We recorded early because I went away that week.
Yep.
So, a lot of it's nonsense. But there's some big stuff. The most important thing that I want to talk about is that for the first time since he was accused of sexual assault, which seemingly went away, Vin Diesel went to Instagram and posted a thing.
What was the thing?
Just finished our end of the week fast meeting with the writers and the whole team to say the excitement for our finale was incredibly powerful is an understatement. Wow, so exciting, ... While everyone was heading into the weekend amped and excited, I thought of you all, ... reminded of the countless moments when your enthusiasm and passion became the driving force behind our creative journey. Your commitment to our saga has had a unique impact on its success and evolution, ... As my youngest daughter would say, it's profound. As Brian would say, it's iconic. Thank you. It's so weird that he references high school slumber party. That's wild. Thank you for being the backbone of this global saga that because of you transcends the screen. The grand finale is not just an ending. It's a celebration of the incredible family we've built together. Hope to make you proud. So people were just like, one more movie.
Yeah. The finale. He says it.
So Deadline says the end is near, says Vin Diesel, but he promises it will be a grand finale. Posted Instagram, updated fans on the next franchise installment known as Fast X Little I?
That are you serious?
I don't know. I have not seen this, but right here.
This is, that might be the best iteration of that we could, that was one we didn't even imagine.
Fast, it's like Fast 11.
But small I. Oh, I really like that. That's some grand fuckery.
No, like everywhere, I don't know if there's a typo, everywhere else is calling it Fast 11, like Economic Times, movie fan fiction, whatever.
But that doesn't mean anything, because that's not even, what has Vin called it? We don't know yet.
He just said the grand finale.
So it could just be Fast Grand Finale. Or the grand, he could just totally demolish it being Fast and the Furious and just call it the grand finale.
So like what doesn't make any sense is... There's going to be the Hobbs movie. There was going to be 11. There was going to be the reboot. There was going to be the whatever. And now it's just one.
No, that doesn't mean that. I can't read that as that. I think that just means the finale of the main franchise.
So then Hollywood Reporter has a news thing come out that just says Vin Diesel moving forward with next Fast installment. And their angle is the update and the follow-up to Fast 10 comes after a former assistant sued Diesel for sexual battery late last year over allegations Diesel has since denied. So they're just saying, like, their take on it is that Vin's back. It's like, of course Vin's back. A sequel to Fast 10 from director Louis Leterrier is scheduled for release April 4th, 2025, which we knew. But that's still 13 months from now. Okay.
And for them to have their, like, kickoff meeting in the past month? Sure.
Okay, so that was the big thing. I have a lot of other news. I'm just gonna open things in reverse, so going newer to old.
Sure.
There is, on Gizmodo, a story from this week. The new Super Sentai show, don't know what it is, asks, what if Fast and Furious actually had superheroes?
They do.
Well, I know that. But, like, they have this thing, which is just, like, some crazy Japanese thing with a car in the background.
Oh, it's like Super Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Okay.
The 48th and latest entry in the Super Sentai franchise, the Japanese tokusatsu series that forms the action footage and design basis for Power Rangers, so you're right, began airing this past week, and the premise is pretty simple. What if your brightly colored superhero team was actually a car-based courier service for anything and everything? So they're like Uber. They're Uber, but they're superheroes.
They're Postmates. They're Postmates that are superheroes.
Yep. So, in case people are out there, like, looking for something to watch, I can't imagine people out there not having too much stuff to watch already. There is this new Japanese iteration of a thing where it's, you know, Fast and Furious delivery service.
Yeah. Okay.
Then there was a thing that, I don't know if you saw this was last week. Dwayne Johnson secures ownership rights to 25 names and catchphrases. Did you hear this?
No. Tell me all about it.
I'm going to instead read from Walt Hickey's Numlock News, which is wonderful.
Oh, shout out, Walt. I messaged him. We should talk to him soon.
The subject line for this was Dwayne, Dune, and Coco. So Dwayne, or it says Sobriquet, which is the definition I once knew, a person's nickname, Sobriquet, right?
Okay.
Dwayne Johnson, this is verbatim from what Walt does. Like, Walt takes a thing, like, he has the variety thing, he, like, condenses it down, adds jokes or whatever. Dwayne Johnson, the film actor previously known as a wrestler, has officially gained the intellectual property rights to 25 names, insults, and catchphrases as a result of his new deal with TKO, the parent company of his former home, the WWE. Yes, Dwayne Johnson now owns the concept of, quote, The Rock, as well as many other ideas, including the concept of, quote, candy ass, the idea that one ought to, quote, know your role and shut your mouth.
Yep.
The nom de guerre of Rocky Maivia, the affiliations of, quote, Team Corporate and, quote, Team Bring It, as well as the end times prophecy of the, quote, Rockpocalypse and the epitaph of, quote, the most electrifying man in sports and entertainment.
Sports entertainment, yes, yeah. That
I
one,
look
yeah.
forward to the day, Walt writes, when John Cena attempts the same, though I shall not be able to see it happen, as he will then clutch the very concept of invisibility.
Mm-hmm. Excellente, Mr. Hickey. Excellente.
And I was just like, I gotta read this verbatim, man. He's like, all right.
Yeah.
Also on the Dwayne Johnson front, Emily Blunt in talks to join Dwayne Johnson in Benny Safdie's MMA drama, The Smashing Machine. So Benny Safdie, of the Safdie Brothers, of Good Times, your version, or Good Time, whatever else knows it as, is making an A24 feature film about MMA and UFC champion Mark Kerr. The Rock starring in that, and Emily Blunt in talks to star alongside him.
I can't imagine The Rock in a Benny Safdie anything.
I mean,
unless Benny sells it to The Rock that, like, this is going to be a serious thing, and the whole joke is that, like, The Rock's the only one that doesn't know what's happening. Right?
We're going to cover in the very near, well, not the very near future, not this lap, but probably next lap, a movie that will challenge what you believe Dwayne Johnson's acting abilities to be.
Okay.
Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
Next news item. John Cena says agency told him to reject his Barbie cameo as it, quote, may take you out of future lead roles. Their perspective was, quote, this is beneath you.
I get that. I could definitely see the studio saying that, but that's just like a fun cameo. That's not like, it's not a role. You know what I mean? Like, I can see if he played, what was it? Not Ken, the other one. Alan. If he was like Alan.
If he was like Michael Cera, he was like a recurring joke. Yeah, but it's just like, he was on set for half a day. He's under a minute in the movie. It's just like, yeah, no. Why would you?
That's a cameo of John Cena for a fun time thing. That's what I'm saying. I don't even consider him like in the movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I get it. I'm sure that there's optics and, like, you know, polls and shit, but at the same time, I understand.
It's like Barbie is now huge. One of the most successful movies of all time, and it's just like he's forever associated with that. So even if he's not the star of Barbie, he's like, yeah, I was in Barbie and I had a really funny role that people loved.
Exactly, and I was on screen for a minute and a half at the most.
Alan Ritchson, Ames. This is not a thing that I'm going to go deep on, just saw a thing. But Alan Ritchson, Ames. Oh, this is why, right. He's going to star alongside Kevin James in the action comedy Playdate, which is filming soon. But in this Deadline article, quote, he will reprise his role as Ames in the untitled 11th installment of the Fast and Furious franchise. So he's coming back.
Okay, so that's a good confirmation. I like that. I can't see a version of it where he's standing at the top of the dam next to Jason Momoa, and they announce that they're brothers. There's no way that he wasn't coming back.
It'd be really funny if they didn't. I don't know.
Yeah, they should replace him. That's what they should have done. They should have Aunt Viv'd him and just dropped in a different white guy.
Yeah.
We haven't done enough of that. I think we've said this before. I'm sure I'm retreading old tires, but they need to do a full Aunt Viv situation in Fast and the Furious, that they just like totally replace someone and pretend like it didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, if they cast like Ludacris as, what's Ja Rule's character's name in the first movie?
Edwin.
Edwin's a man who knows some things.
Yeah.
Like if they just cast Ludacris as Edwin, it's just like, that seems racist, but also kind of funny.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I want that, but like, that's what I'm saying. So like do Ames, because he's a white guy, and just get like fucking Superman or something.
Yeah.
Like Henry Cavill. Mm-hmm. And just replace him with him, and everybody'd be like, is that the same white guy as last time? And you're like, no, it's a different one, but they're just all the same guy, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Still working my way back. Girl Fight, which we covered here, the Michelle Rodriguez lap, coming to Criterion Blu-ray in May 2024, which is very cool.
Oh, congrats. Cool. Yeah.
Also, lady casting, Fantastic Four. Marvel announced their Fantastic Four for the upcoming whatever. And our girl, Vanessa Kirby, playing Sue Storm.
Hattie Shaw's in it, which doesn't bode well for a Shaw movie when I saw that announcement. Well,
so my big question here is she the most successful? She has now been in The Fast and Furious. She is now going to be in the MCU. She has been in multiple Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah.
She feels inevitable for a Bond movie at some point because she's a beautiful British Bond woman.
Yeah.
There's no major franchises she's missing. No one else has done that. I mean, Vin has done two, but Vin hasn't been in Mission Impossible. Tom Cruise has not been in either. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
There's not many people who cross over all three. I think she might be the first one. Unless I'm forgetting someone.
She hit all big franchises? Yeah, you're right.
Like, those are the three biggest franchises, right? In terms of, like, number of movies?
Yeah, you're right. It's Bond. Right. All of Marvel, MCU. Mission Impossible, Fast and the Furious. Like, you're right. Bond is, like, the only thing that she's not in.
But that's still, like, three, so.
And three, and two of them are pretty much James Bond.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, we're almost there.
Well, we'll talk about James Bond when we talk about the Icons Unearthed episode later in this episode. But alongside Vanessa Kirby will be Pedro Pascal, Eben Moss-Bacharach, and Joseph Quinn, so. Ludacris at the Super Bowl halftime show. This is how long it's been. We haven't talked about the Super Bowl yet.
Oh, interessant. Okay, yeah. Ludacris showed up. It was awesome. Good for him. Did you hate the Usher halftime show?
It was very boring to me, but it was...
It was whatever. Roller skating was cool.
The roller skating was cool. Like, deciding to roller skate under another man's legs on live on national television or global television is a bold move, but...
Sure. Know. It's Usher.
I get it.
Usher's done it. Trust me. He went to rehab for it. He's done it.
Speaking of, we're talking about Ludacris. No. I was going back a little bit. Did you see this news from Stereo Gum from a month ago? Andre 3000 tells Stephen Colbert he lost a Fast and Furious role to Ludacris.
No, but didn't we see that in Icons Unearthed? That was like one of the, when they were talking about finding Ludacris, they were like, oh, we like I think that was a passing thing. They were like, oh, we were gonna get another rapper because we were replacing Ja Rule, and then that was the whole episode where like they picked Ludacris and they were like, we don't know if this guy's gonna work because he's like really quiet, and then he like showed up with the giant afro and they were like, we nailed it.
So apparently on Colbert, Andre couldn't name a favorite action movie, and Colbert said he would have been good in a Fast and Furious movie. Andre admitted it could have happened. Quote, I would have. I think Ludacris took the role. I tried out for Fast and Furious, and Ludacris actually took the role. I wasn't ready. I was so nervous, man. I wouldn't hire me.
Oh.
Also, there was the big thing around that time was that Christopher Nolan was on, what show was that? Also on Colbert, he was talking about how much he loves the franchise. And he says, quote, I would start Tokyo Drift and watch out his own thing just to warm you up. Like, that was his advice to Colbert. He's like, where should I start? So Colbert, he's listening to the show or something. I don't know. I guess he hadn't seen any of them. And he was like, you know, talking about how he wanted to do both or he wanted to watch
so
all
how
of them.
So how did he not see any of them and then say Andre 3000 would be good in one?
I mean, you still know what the vibe is.
I guess. Yeah.
You know a guy, you know a thing, like...
Yeah, that's true. And also, he's, like, just a host on TV, so, like, he could just be, like, lying all the
time.
Like,
I've never seen, like, Traitors or something, but, like, I know that, like, Tyrese would be good on that show.
Oh, yeah. He would be good. I haven't watched the new season yet, but...
What is this? I don't even remember what this news was. Dwayne The Rock Johnson makes return to WWE. Oh, yeah, this is now a month plus ago.
Yeah, this was the him joining to the TKO, all these things.
He was face-to-face with Roman Reigns.
What?
He fought Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but this was, like, hand-in-hand with, like, him getting partnership, blah, 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 blah. He's, gotcha. Like, now creative director or whatever. Like, he's like, back in the WWE as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he has, like, a say now. He's not just a wrestler. Like, they hired him, like, as, like, someone.
What episode were we talking about Saint Elsewhere? Or was that just on the Discord?
Why were we talking about Saint Elsewhere?
Saint Elsewhere is a TV show where the spoilers for Saint Elsewhere, but there's like a thing that people know about it. Like, in the end, you realize that this kid in the hospital, like the entire
we were talking about this. Yes. We were talking about this here because maybe like Walt said something about like it or somebody when we were talking about Mark, somebody when we were talking about a different movie was like, what if it was just all imagined or something? Yes, I remember now. Go ahead.
Lane mentioned. He mentioned maybe it was on the Roman's holiday, the interquel. I don't know. Maybe we talked about it in the last episode. Who knows? But I found there is a fandom wiki page for the Tommy Westfall universe. Tommy Westfall is a character in that show who, like, imagined everything, and that's the connections. But there is a page on the Tommy Westfall wiki, or fandom, for the Fast and Furious. So it has the franchise connections, blah, blah, blah. And then has the Westfall connections to the Fast and Furious. So Dominic Toretto's Dodge Charger can be seen in a junkyard in Herbie Fully Loaded, which is another movie we've covered. I think we talked about it there.
Okay, yeah.
And the first film, is the first appearance of Noel Guglielmi's Hector character, who's also appeared in Furious 7 and subsequently appeared in Fresh Off the Boat as a recurring character. And he's also in The Cleaner, Hope Cafe, Retail, and V.
Yes. So
I like that Hector, just playing guys named Hector, has it's crossed over into being like more proof.
I like that too.
It's like, no, the guy just like can't remember character names, I guess, and so they just call him Hector.
I like non-harmful conspiracy theories. Those are my favorite. Like the ones that people don't like change their life about, like those ones are good.
So this is not news. Tara said something in the Discord, and then you were like, I probably won't remember. Or no, you said I'll remember or something like that. And I was like, no, I wrote it down. But do you remember what Tara was talking about? This is a pop quiz for you. What Tara was talking about like 3 or 4 weeks ago that you made a note of, you responded to, you're like, oh, we'll talk about it on the show. And I was like, well, I wrote it down because you're probably not going to remember. Do you remember?
I said, if I remember.
Do you remember what it was then?
No, I absolutely don't.
Makes me wonder what the virtues of Fast are. Patience, obviously, Tara never said. Blow your Tara nitro said. Early. Yes, patience is a virtue. What are the other virtues of the Fast and Furious?
If you're not first, you're last.
That's just Ricky Bobby.
I think that Dom probably lives by that, too.
Well, winning is winning.
Winning is winning. Family.
Mm-hmm. Family's a virtue.
It's definitely a virtue. Lots of Jesus. There's like a secret Jesus virtue for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Religion, like God, faith would be one of their virtues, I would think.
Okay.
What else? What do you think? What do you have some virtues?
I mean, patience. I think the patience one is good. I think that's like more detailed than what we're saying right now. Like, I'm wondering if there's going to be other ones. I do think the family thing, I think the winning thing, winning is winning. I think just as he gets older, as Dom the character gets older, it's just more about like quality time and family and, you know, cherishing the little things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're like, what is it, like time spent with family is never wasted or something? Yeah. I bet he has like a sign like that in his garage somewhere.
Yeah. The last thing, and this is not news, and this is not exactly right, and Wes, I'm apologizing because your organizational OCD is going to hate this, but this is roughly more or less, including Patreon, our 400th episode.
Okay.
Not number 400, this is number 345, but including the Patreon ones and whatever. So I did a little breakdown of what we've done by what. Like, what percentage of these is whatever.
Okay.
So interesting. We did two interviews. You remember the two interviews we did?
Yes. Sean's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy that made the game.
Oh, well, no, I counted that as a different thing.
Okay.
But there's another one that we basically just did an interview of someone.
I don't remember. Well, who was it?
Fast and Furious on the Budget with the Budget Boys.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Cool. Yes.
We did three episodes that are commentary. We did the first three movies.
Okay, yes.
We did six before it was struck down, before its prime, episodes of You Are My Lifespan.
Those are my favorite episodes. And the death of You Are My Lifespan is something that I still begrudgingly tell Joey about, and Rachel and I still talk about.
I mean, we still have Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2. We completed that journey.
We did. That's my favorite, which is my favorite High School Musical.
Yeah. The sequel to the spin-off movie, the fan fiction erotic sequel to the spin-off about the third leading character.
She eventually like pulls that dick out too. She was thinking about the dick the whole time.
We had 13 tune-ups, which makes sense because this is lap 14.
Yeah, it makes sense.
We have 22 episodes that I considered preview episodes or bonus episodes. It's like, hey, F9's coming out this week.
Yes,
hey.
F9. Yeah. F9 hype episode, whatever. Yes.
All those things that are not really about a thing. They're just kind of previewing a thing. Like we're just sort of guessing a thing, whatever.
Cool. Okay.
We did 23. This will be 24, but we've done 23 Life in the Fast Lane episodes.
Okay.
We have done 144 about Fast and Furious properties. So that's the movies.
That Spy Racers.
Spy Racers. That's the video game. That's all of that.
Andy counts in that? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And then we've done 186 episodes about different movies. One of those, and this is where the thing, you know, crumbles a little bit, because I was cataloging, because it was in my scheduling doc. One of those is A Third Time's a Charm, where we did Lone Wolf and Cub here, and then we did one on Mike's, and we did a Patreon bonus episode or something. So like one of those isn't really our show, but still, it's still too fast. But 186 episodes about movies that are not Fast and Furious.
That's fun, though.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun, because like I watched a ton of, like I said, this just feels like movies that Joe should watch most of the time. So I like that.
Because like I said on the Zardoz episode, and it was either Zardoz or Predator, we've hit 200 different movies covered for this podcast. And so it's like, I wonder, because we're like, you know, because we're all saying you're close to 400 episodes, but we actually now have 400 episodes.
Did you know that only because, like, do you have like a Letterboxd list that's just Too Fast movies? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were like, oh, this is the 200th entry to that.
Yeah, I have two Letterboxd lists that I are almost, the Too Fast one is correct. I'm 90% sure of that. And I have one for all Cage Club shows that's probably like 98% correct, but like we were saying I was saying to you on Messenger that I forgot that Nico and Kevo did every Predator movie, and I'm just like, oh, so like they were not like the Alien and Predator, like that whole series of HTML was not on there. But yeah, so I have two lists on Letterboxd. If you are on Letterboxd, one is just every Cage Club movie, which is like 1500 or something, and then one is every Too Fast movie, which is, you know, 201 or something.
That's also insane.
My only other thing, and this is not really a note, this is more of like a thing for the mailbag, but it's my idea. What do you think, and I don't remember what I was watching that like inspired this, and I don't know if I'd want to do this or not. What do you think about a lap around cops and cop movies? could be dangerous, but could be okay. Like, we kind of toy with that.
What are the things? Is it just cops? Are we doing like border control, FBI? Like, what are the boundaries? Space Force, yeah. We could do Space Force the show with Steve Carell or whatever.
I don't remember what I was watching Inspire, because I think like a lot of these, like, you know, a lot of classic car movies have cops, and a lot of like crime movies have cops, and like bank robbery heist movies, you know what I mean? Like, they all do cops. I don't know if we need the specific
cops lab
only thing, but
just Oops All Cops. I like Oops All Cops.
Oops All Cops.
What is it? Like, it'll just be like Bad Boys Lab.
What you gonna do?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to curate like a 3-episode arc of cops, like the one where the guy says, "I lost my box of crack," or no, we were watching one and the cop pulls him over and he goes, "Yep, there it is, box of crack," and we were like, "What the? How did the cop sound like that?" He was like, "Yep, I knew I was gonna find a box of crack in here." What does that mean? How many times have you seen that?
Apparently a lot.
I guess that's funny. One of my friend that I went to go visit for 4th of July actually recently messaged in the group chat and was like, Joe, you need to come back and visit, we need to get drunk and we need to watch cops again all day. And I was like, that always sounds like a good day to me, so I'm in.
That's very nice.
Yes.
That all said, is there any other news about the Fast and Furious that you've seen in the last month that we've not covered?
I put it in the Discord, tangential, but the thing that I remember is Rita Moreno was on the Today Show.
Okay.
Not selling Ozempic, which is a joke if you're in the Discord.
Every time I log in the Discord, there's just like somebody talking about Ozempic. I'm just like, Jesus, guys.
Because I have this conspiracy theory that I watch the news in the morning, and the Today Show is like pushing Ozempic to a point that I'm like, this is terrifying. I don't know what's happening, but like, I don't trust it, because every like once a week they have a segment on Ozempic. It's either, is Ozempic good? How to get Ozempic? Why is it good? Mm-hmm. This week it was Ozempic being pushed by influencers. Should they be allowed to do that? It's like, why are you always fucking talking about Ozempic? But they always are. Either way, Rita Moreno was on the Today Show and she was talking about her new movie called The Prank or something like that.
Sure. Okay.
And she was just discussing like how she has embraced being a Latina in film, and how when she was younger, she didn't really feel that way, and how, you know, just awesome things, and she's cool. So that was the only news that I saw that I remember.
Cool. Well, I have one more question before we get to Icons Unearthed.
What?
Is Dwayne Johnson interquel?
I don't know now. With Vin, with what IndieWire or whatever, being like, there's only one movie. I don't know. He came out and said, like, we squashed the beef. I'm going to be in the Hobbs 2 movie. There was an Instagram video about it.
It was like 8 minutes long.
He did the whole thing. Like, we knew you needed it and whatever. And, like, they still haven't, like, really talked, but...
I like that we, you know, for a while, it was like, is Dwayne Johnson in Fast 10? The answer was no. And then all of a sudden, he was. And then we're like, cool, like, is he in the sequel? It's like, yeah. And then, like, that lasted...
Duh,
like,
he announced it. And then it was like, month? Okay. Not a fucking peep after that.
Now that we're past Super Tuesday, we can also ask the other question that Alex asked us to stop asking. Is Dwayne Johnson running for president?
Well, if he is, not this cycle.
All right, Joe, let us watch, or let us talk about episode 5 of Icons Unearthed, an episode called A Death in the Family. Halfway through filming Furious 7, the ultimate tragedy takes place. Can the family pull together to give their brother one last ride? Joe.
And this episode is brought to you by Monster Jam, the most action-packed motorsport events on four wheels. At the event, you can see world-class driver athletes and the most recognizable trucks tear up the dirt. Shout out to Monster Jam.
Well, shout out to Monster Jam. And this, again, okay, look, I think this is once again the worst episode of the show. Like, we have gotten to a point where, like, these are just recap now.
They definitely shot their load in the first one or two.
It's just like, we brought in this star. We brought in this star. We brought in this star. It's bigger. It's bigger. It's just like, yeah, we know. Like, I think.
Well, they
like,
do mention the flip car in this one.
There's interesting
stuff.
They do
talk about some. There's some mildly interesting stuff. They could have condensed this whole series down for sure.
And I will also, which is also wild because, like,
there's 10 of these movies.
There's six, and there's six of these episodes, whatever.
Yeah.
I do think that there is, like, the last, like, 15 minutes of this episode is just people, like, remembering Paul. It's very sweet and very touching, but, like...
I have that as a note, too. It was cute how sincere they all seem to talk about Paul Walker, and every report we've seen has been similar, so that's awesome. Yep. It just confirms that Paul Walker probably was a very nice guy.
So before we get there, though, let's start at the beginning. So everyone, and I think this makes sense, but everyone in this episode is talking about how Justin Lin's dream movie is a James Bond movie. He's like, I want to make a James Bond movie. So, like, that's why, like, Fast Five is kind of like a height, like a kind of like a crime, whatever, instead of, like, action. It's more crime. It's the James Bond thing, which I think makes sense. I don't know if we've ever explicitly explored these movies as James Bond, but, like, it makes sense.
They do take a James Bond-y turn. I mean, we always kind of, like, relate them to James Bond, but to hear it directly, like, that's what Justin Lin wanted to do makes perfect sense.
There is a guy in this whose credit, like, in the Chiron, is author and Fast expert, and I'm just like, hello, we've got minute documents.
Fuckers. We got minute documents, and we know the authors of the Fast and the Furious textbook, so why don't we just combine us?
Hey, why is Josh Gulam not on here?
Yeah.
But he's like, this is the only movie with a core eight, with Dom and Letty, Brian and Mia, Roman and Tej, Han and Giselle, plus Hobbs and Riley. And he's like, but Letty's Amnesia Letty. Like, we never will have the core eight, right? That is the core eight.
We will.
But not, like, in a way that, like, is...
What?
It's Brian in air quotes.
This is, what is it? The ship of whatever. Like, how much Brian is Brian?
Yeah.
If you have Corey there playing Brian, is that not Brian?
I don't know. It's a very good question. The thing that this episode does for a while that I feel like is cool, but is also like, I don't need to see a show about it because you can just like read in a bullet point and be like, okay, is they talk about like all these locations that wouldn't let them film there, so they shot somewhere else. Like London's like...
Atlanta.
Absolutely, you cannot fucking drive here. Like, you can't do flip cars here. Like, all right, we'll go to Scotland.
A tank. You can't drive a tank through this fucking street. Yeah.
They're like, okay, cool. The Canary Islands has like this unused, brand new bridge highway. As long as we fix it, we can do whatever we want there. Like, when The Matrix Reloaded was being shot, they literally built a freeway in the desert.
Yeah, makes sense.
But here they're just like, well, we got one. You need to use it. Just fix it. I'm like, okay. But like, that's the kind of thing which is like, I don't need 90 seconds of a show. It's like you just like read like one bullet point on IMDb. Like, they use a highway in the Canary Islands. Okay. Like, I'd rather have, like, behind the scenes, like the first episode of this was so good, and it's just, like, I'm craving that high again.
Something that he said when he was talking about that is he's like, oh, they only gave us, like, one street.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and I realized, once you're in an action sequence, no one's gonna pay attention to where you're at. And I was like, ha ha ha, motherfucker, I'm gonna be on your ass in, like, 17 and a half years. Uh-huh. You fucking wait. I'm going to point out that that's the same building they drove by 16 times. You just wait. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out. In this episode, somebody said the tank jump scene is the most romantic thing he's ever seen in film.
Uh-huh.
Do you agree?
No.
Do you think that you can make an argument for that?
Well, that's also the thing. That's also the thing where it's like these people... All these talking heads, like, as the series goes on, they're, like, more and more niche. Just, like, the assistant editor or whatever. Just, like, people are like, I talked about the first movie, we're good, right? Whatever. But these movies now, these talking heads are half between, like,
stunts.
People saying insane stuff like that. And people being like, can you believe what we're doing? Like, physics aren't real. It's just, like, we know. Like, could I make an argument that that's the most romantic scene in the history of cinema? I mean, it's up there.
Okay.
But in terms of actual genuine romance in these movies, I think Lo Bandolero is more romantic. I think Letty making unconscious Dom remember their wedding is more romantic. I think
that's true. Yeah.
Dom picking Letty up by the ass is more sexy.
Yes, romantic. Yeah. Fair.
I mean, I think it's, in terms of what it means, it's like a top 10 moment for the...
franchise.
Top 10 romantic moment for the franchise. But yeah, the most romantic...
ever in cinema.
In the history of cinema? No, probably not.
I like that they called it... We called it the never-ending runway, right?
Mm-hmm.
They called it, or no, we called it, what do we call it? The
World's Longest Runway.
World's Longest Runway. They called it the runway that never ended.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that they had their own thing. I was very disappointed that wasn't the World's Longest Runway.
Well, so what's they would really just used interesting ours, to me, like this episode is, like the last episode of the show was about six, right? It was about five and six. This is about seven, but they're also still talking about six for some reason. We had always heard, not always heard, but we had heard multiple times the tank scene and the runway scene in six were for different movies. And
yes.
And they just combined them. But they say in this, not that that was going to be like six and seven, but they say in this that the plane was from five.
Five, yes.
That they had like storyboarded yes. and maybe even done some CGI and they're just like, well, we have this. Let's just throw it in here. Like I think...
No, it wasn't even just throw it in here. Justin Lin really liked it. He couldn't get it for five. Yeah.
I mean, he was like, five would be bad. Not bad, but like five would be bad if that was in there. Like five works because it doesn't do other nonsense.
Yeah, which I think ultimately makes five better than six.
Mm-hmm.
He just really had this fucking plane boner and he had to put it in a movie. And that's how we wind up with the World's Longest Runway.
I mean, it's cool. But I think, you know, we talked about that before. Like, but I always assumed like it was like, oh, well, we have these ideas for two other movies. And it makes way more sense to be like, well, we have this idea for another movie we didn't do. Let's just put it in here instead of like we don't have enough. Like, let's take the next idea. It's like, well, we have this other older idea. Let's just combine the two.
Which is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a little, not offended, but offended by, in this episode, they're talking about, like, Gina Carano, and I know that there's the whole, like, she's canceled, whatever thing.
For
but,
sure,
like,
yeah.
They're talking about how, like, they had to bring her in and she couldn't act. I'm like, she did Haywire 2 years before this, and Haywire she's the star of, and Haywire rules. Like, don't
so they played it like she couldn't act, but then in reality, when they're talking about it, it was just like she was shy when not on camera.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And she was in a group of people that are in a franchise
for 10 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like, neither of these things surprised me. It was like it was almost the exact same story as Ludacris. Like,
yep.
He's sitting there, like he's not very vocal in the storyboarding or whatever. And then he gets on set and he's like, yeah, it just crushes, right? Like, that's what happens.
I mean, that is something that's like getting hired at a job where like everyone's already friends is like, well, all right. Like, even if they're like super nice, they want to like welcome you. Like, there's still like history there that like.
Yeah. And like, you could still be really good at your job
yep.
that you're doing there. And like, it takes you a while to like still break into the friendship group. But alas, she heel turns and then heel turns in real life. And then we don't have to worry about her anymore. So it doesn't matter.
She gone. There was something that kind of bummed me out.
What?
About, they were talking about how the studio didn't want Gal to die. They didn't want Giselle to die. And Justin Lin said, no, there has to be consequence. Like, people have to die. Like, there has to, something has to mean something, right? And so I was just, like, thinking about how, like, you had this idea for him doing 9, 10, 11 to end the franchise, just like he did 4, 5, 6 to, like, whatever, and, like, now he left, and now we're talking about, like, there's no way that these people are going to be dead on the plane, but, like, there's part of me is just like, well, if he were still around, maybe people would have died in 11 or 10, right? Like, people, like, there would have been stakes or whatever. But then I'm also just like, this guy single-handedly brought Han back, like, three times.
Yeah.
So yeah. It doesn't really hold water.
I mean, he wants there to be stakes and people to die if
as long as it's not Han?
As long as they're pretty women and not a character that he invented for another movie.
Right.
I mean, I get it. I was bashing Justin Lin. We love Han. We always loved Han. I wanted Han back. But at the same time, it's like, Justin, I mean, you can't have these rules for just...
Right.
Like, you can't be like, blanket rule, there needs to be stakes, and then delete the stakes every time you... And also, Gal is back. Uh-huh. So, like, yeah.
Well, because I also think that, like, when this comes out, like, this show... Icons on Earth, season 3.
They'd only finished through 8.
Came out in January of 2023, right? So, yeah, so this is before 10 comes out, but, like, so
they shot 9 comes out, but it feels like they're only going to right. 8, not 9.
But, like, so much of this episode I was watching, I'm like, I wonder if this is kind of, like, I mean, like, Icons does seasons as quickly as Spy Racers. Like, it started, like, the year before, and this is, like, season 3, like, it's within, like, 8 months. Like, they just, like, pump seasons out of this, because, like, you can, right? Like, it's documentary style. Part of me was wondering if, like, this was made to be, like, isn't it so exciting? Because this whole episode is just, like, Justin Lin is great. Justin's great. We love Justin.
And then he's gone.
which I'm sure they're not going to get. You know what I mean? But it's just like, they're like, oh, we got him back for 9. 9's about to come out. This is going to be kind of like promo cycle for 9. And like, he's going to be here for the next 2. And just like, well.
I did like how James Wan got some shine in this, though. Yeah. Like, everybody seems skeptical. And then like, Tyrese is like, James Wan was pretty fucking good, though. Like,
yeah.
And like, to hear Tyrese say that is, you know that he's going to tell you the truth and he didn't make it about himself. So right. James Wan must be a pretty good director.
You know, they're like, Fury 7 made a lot of money, but like while they were making it, you know, Paul dies. They have all these different people talking about like where they were, how they heard, who told them, their reaction.
Oh, fuck. Did you hear Craig Lieberman?
In this episode?
Yeah.
What did he say? Well, I remember a bunch of them. I don't remember what he said. Which one?
He was like, I heard it 15 minutes after it happened. And I was like, he had to get it out. Like, he was like, I was one of the first person that they told. And I was like, okay, Craig.
But like, I would rather, so much rather hear stories like what they give, like where they're talking about how he was just like in a jewelry shop and like this young couple is like, we can't afford a ring. And he just like secretly paid for their ring. And like, that was so cool.
Yeah, this is
sick shit.
Yeah, this is awesome.
This just felt so dumb and kind of mean that there was that assistant editor who just like, man, his eyes are really blue, huh? And they're like, oh my God, you love Paul. And like became this running joke, which like feels very real and also just very annoying. But like it turned out to be so sweet when like they Photoshop Paul's face onto Burt Reynolds' bare, naked bearskin body. And then Paul delivers that poster to that guy. And like, it's just so like annoying and mean, but also just so sweet because he was like game for it. And just, oh man, I don't know. It's like, I want those stories. I don't want like, Paul was a good dude. Like, here's what he, you know what I mean? Like this.
Yeah,
I
and he's just some fun behind the scenes shit. Yeah. The Burt Reynolds poster was incredible. That was really fun. I liked that a lot. And I liked that he had seen it and delivered it. That's awesome.
And like loved it apparently.
That would crack me up too. He seems like he has a good sense of humor, had a good sense of humor.
I was wondering, so they talked a lot here after, you know, people are remembering him, but they're talking about like the tech they used to like recreate and the body doubles and the voice cloning and whatever. Like the, you thought you could leave without saying goodbye was like this like feat of technology. Cause like he never said any of those words or in that order or whatever.
Yes.
And I was just thinking like how much easier, like again, 2015 or he dies in 2014, right? Like not that long ago, but like today's AI technology, like how much easier this all would have been. Like,
oh yeah. Oh,
like
yeah,
when Kevin
yeah.
Spacey gets canceled, they just completely remove him from a movie and put a Christopher Plummer in his place. And like, that was like even 5 years. You know what I mean? Just like,
yep.
Done. Easy.
Yeah, you could do that for sure. Very, very easily now. Yep.
I'm curious about this last episode, the final episode called Blast Off. Cause like, if they get into like what the future could be, like, not that they could talk about it, cause like they're the people making it. So they probably know stuff they can't talk about, but like, I'm curious to be like what it could be about. You know what I mean? Like I want to see it. So one more episode though. We're almost done.
Blastoff kind of hints that they like know that they go to space too. I thought that it finished at 8, but you're saying it finishes after 9?
Well, so the description for Blastoff says the tragic death of Paul Walker creates uncertainty for the future of the franchise. But like in this movie or in this episode, they're basically just like, yeah, made $1.5 billion. We're going to make more movies. Like that's that's already solved. Meanwhile, a feud between two cast members would cost them another star, which is the feud in 8, right? So like,
yeah,
there's 8, there's Hobbs, and there's 9, and 10's about to come out. So I don't know when this, but that's a lot of ground to cover. So I think they're just like the post Paul era. I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll see next time.
We have an email address. Family at caseworld.me. Before we get there, though, we have a Patreon page, toofast2forever.com. Shout out to Cassie Wilson, Nick Burris, Alex Ellen, and Justin Kleiman, Brian Rodriguez of Ooh. High School Slumber Party. So I can't believe Vin Diesel shouted him out. Wild. Wes Hampton, Jerry Robinson, Dan the Duke, Hayden, Renato DiDonato, Michael McGann, Lane Middleton, Lindsay Lewandowski, Nate Milton of the Kings of Sport, Jason Rainey, Tom Price, Mike Gallier, Josh Buckley of Whole Lot of Wolves, Michael Moser, Christian Larson, Taryn Newone, Aaron Willosen, Natalie Absolute, Randy Carter, Josh Goulam, and Jessica Collins, a.k.a. Montez. Thank you all for supporting the $5 a month level or above. They know Lap 15's theme. They've all gotten picks in for, or most of them, the $10 people. Gotten picks in for bonus episodes. Bonus episodes coming up very soon, starting in early April. So get over there, toofast2forever.com. I can mail you stickers and handwritten notes.
Can, yeah, you can.
Access to exclusive documents. $1 a month gets you in the door at toofast2forever.com. We have an email address, family@caseworld.me. Joe, we have a...
By the way, I was looking, and our current Too Fast document is, what, 230 pages long.
That seems normal.
That's That's a normal amount of text to have about one movie, I think.
We have a couple emails today, but we have mostly comments from stuff. So
okay, please.
YouTube
Motor
comments.
Mouse.
So no, so yeah. Positive comments.
What? Awesome. Okay.
Someone named Jason Case. I don't know if this is a Jason that we know because there's a couple Jasons in our orbit. But Jason Case comments on Passenger 57 saying an entertaining, entertaining action movie set on an airplane before Air Force One. Okay. But then I'm like, that's fine, whatever. But then later, 3 minutes later, Jason comments on our Life in the Fast Lane number 21, Cars Can't Fly, Dom. Cars aren't bound by the laws of realistic physics in the Fast and Furious movie universe. So, like, Jason's just going from movie to movie, just commenting. I'm just like, okay, shout out to Jason.
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, shout out. Hope you're listening to this.
Tobogo Lucas just left a little heart on the Machete Kills episode, so shout out to Tobogo.
Excellent.
So this is an interesting thing, and I don't remember character names, and I don't know if this is what he means or not, but Ish comments on our RRR episode, just says, Rom is Brian.
Rom is the... I think like the main cop one.
Yeah. So
which would
what
make
we talked
sense.
About. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here are some Patreon picks. So for this lap, should I bleep these out? Should I do these on a Patreon episode or should I do them here? What do you want? How do you want me to handle this? Because we have a handful of these picks.
What? I think you should read them, but then just bleep them out.
Okay. Okay. Mike Gallier's pick for the 80s cult movies
is. Okay, okay.
We talked about that movie a lot last lap. We didn't cover it, but he wants to cover it. He says, one of my old faves.
Okay, I like it. It would have fit last lap's theme as a hint.
Michael Moser has, you know, they're doing this entire lap, he and
Josh. Yeah, he and Josh, yeah.
But he has his pick in for next lap for lap 15, which the listener does not know. The patron listener does know. But his... thing, and I have to bleep a couple things here. For lap 15, it covers and
okay. Also, that's I don't think I've ever seen as a hint in that franchise. I've never seen that movie. I've seen a couple, but I don't think I've ever seen that one.
I've never seen any of those.
Oh, really? Seen a couple. Yeah. I've seen a couple of the other ones, yeah.
Randy Carter gets his picks in for the next two laps. 80s cult movie, he picks.
Okay, yeah, nice. Excellent choice, Randy. Top tier.
And then for lap 15, a movie called A Mockbuster of Fast and Furious, done by the Asylum, the people who brought you Sharknado.
Oh my god.
He was the second AD on this film. It's interesting, he says.
And he worked on the... Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. His first pick I love for this lap because it's a movie that has an iconic song tied to it, and I love all movies that have iconic songs tied to them. So
you're doing a very good job of like teasing, like not like these are like letterbox top four clues. It's like they're not helpful, but they're like when you know what it is, it's like, oh, of course.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to do.
This past Monday was Larson's birthday, so I texted him saying
happy birthday, Mr. Larson.
And he's like, is it too late to get in an 80s cult movie pick? I was like, no, not at all.
Of course not.
So he sent his in, and his is...
That wasn't the one that you guys really liked that was on the previews. It's a different one.
No,
that was called... Yes. Yeah.
This is a movie that has a similar title, I guess. But he was saying that he was watching his two favorite movies on his birthday, and this is his number two favorite movies. Number one favorite movie is Joe versus the Volcano. So he's watching those two on Monday night on his birthday. But
I saw him. I saw him watching Joe versus the Volcano. So that's cool.
What do you mean you saw him watching it? Was he posting about it?
Yeah, he posted a picture of like, oh, I'm watching Joe versus the Volcano. Blah blah blah. I love this movie.
When he and his wife now and his now wife Alyssa had their engagement party, they had it at a Alamo Draft House in Brooklyn, and we watched Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh, that's very cool. Awesome.
It was a very on-brand event. Okay, so now we have actual emails.
Okay.
Jerry writes in, subject line, Passenger 57, which I feel like we did so long ago.
Years.
But he sent this email in 1 month ago. So sorry, Jerry. Here we go.
What's up, Jerry?
Always bet on black. Here are my thoughts on Passenger 57. It's one of my favorites. I have it on VHS.
Ooh.
Soundtrack is so 90s, but so good. The intro song with opening credits when John Cutter is driving his little red Corvette. Thank you, Prince. Love that song.
Yes.
How does a guy that airline security is afraid of, how does a guy that's airline security be afraid of flying all of a sudden do a flight and immediately get promoted to vice president of the airline unless it was him conquering his fear of flying and planes, which, by the way, is kind of racist. I'm not saying the majority of black people are uncomfortable flying. Not me. I love a plane ride. LOL. Affirmative action.
Jerry, maybe. Jerry, thank you. Thank you for that laugh. That excelente. I appreciated that. Thank you. Thank you.
Says the movie's a paint-by-numbers action movie. I agree and agree to watch it in a theater. 85 minutes of action, however, all over the place at some points. Best line ever. Charles Rain is not insane. If not Snipes, an actor I would have had in mind is Michael Jai White. Do you know Michael Jai White? He played... No. Oh, he played Black Dynamite in Black Dynamite, which is a great movie. But he's a good actor. He also played...
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I know his face. Okay,
he was
sorry.
In the Mortal Kombat reboot. Not like the new movie, but he was... I think he played Jax, maybe.
Wasn't he on like a show for like forever? He feels like he was on like ER or something.
Michael Jai White is best known for like the Never Back Down movies. He was in Spawn, apparently. He was in Black Dynamite. Kingdom Business, The Family Business. These are not shows that you're talking about. They're only a little bit.
He was in 10 episodes
of Arrow. He was in For Better or Worse. 162 episodes of that.
No, I mean, I know this face, but I don't know where I don't identify him with a movie or show. Exit Wounds. That's what it was.
Jerry says black martial artist, he could be intimidating.
Yes. Exit Wounds. Excellent movie, by the way, guys.
DMX.
Yeah. Steven Seagal. DMX. Mm-hmm. Michael Jai White. And what's the other guy's name? The comedian. I want to see them titties on the glass.
Oh, I don't know. I saw the movie like twice. There was an Eminem song in there that I really liked, like in the very 2003 movie.
Oh, Anthony Anderson.
Every time I play roulette, most of the numbers I bet upon are black, and I can hear John Cutter in my head saying, always bet on black.
Amen.
I felt like they could have gotten away with a flashback of his woman getting killed, since it doesn't add up except for screen time. He literally stole a leather jacket, and what happens to the owner of the bag when he gets it back? Like, he'll get the bag back and be like, WTF, where's my favorite brown leather jacket? And pull it off my Indiana Jones look. Since that's all I have for now, for me, one of my all-time favorite movies, everybody say it with me, Charles Rain is not insane. Well, thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. Excellent email. Thank you for making me laugh, buddy.
I don't know if I said it or not, but email address is family@cageclub.me if you want to email in. We got more, but, you know, if you want to email for the next episode, which should be, again, I think in 3 weeks. I think we're back to normal schedule.
I think so. I think we're back to regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, there's no more... holidays that we're gonna have like a bonus whatever this whole lap. I don't think so. Like, we're gonna be back through every 3 weeks, so you'll get it in. We'll do it. Okay.
Yep.
Randy sent an email a few weeks ago that is now outdated based on the Vin Diesel post, but he says, mystery film. I think the mystery film is Fast and Furious The Next Generation. Little B, Jack's sister, Samantha Hobbs, Nico, maybe L, all grown up and on their own. Throwing a cameo or two from the OG cast, and the franchise is set for another 20 years.
I like that idea. We pitched that idea. It's kind of Spy Racers, but real. And there's also no rules that say that can't happen later, Joey. So
true.
Yeah. So I'm with you, Randy.
Randy also commented on our Zardoz post, which was his patron pick. And he says, you took the words right out of my mouth and you said, quote, I don't know if it's good or not, but I kind of love it. Exactly.
I've recommended Zardoz from the last lap movie picks, Randy. I've recommended Zardoz to more people than I think any other movie that we watched.
Wow.
So
crazy thing to say.
It's such a crazy thing to say, but after we had discussed it and we watched it and we talked about it, I was like, I know about 6 people that would really fucking love this movie.
It's true.
And yeah.
Our final email from Josh Goulart. Cheers for the stickers. Hi, Joe and Joey. Just getting in touch to say thanks for sending the stickers and the notes. Remember, he was like, I don't want the stickers.
Yeah, they're all the way in England.
And it costs like 50 cents to mail a letter to England or something, or maybe a dollar. I'm like, come on. He says, I stuck one of them to my lectern at work. It's not really a lectern. It's a music stand. But either way, I use it for my lecture notes. So it's nice to carry a bit of the show and the franchise around with me as I teach. And here's the picture.
Oh, that's so cute. Thank you, Josh. Look at this. That's awesome.
It's very cool.
Very cool.
A lot of books on that shelf, and I don't see their book.
Oh, I don't see anything that I... This is big brain stuff here.
I know. Well, there's also like a demystifying Disney. Like, there's things that like there's like educational thing about like, you know, it would fit, but
yeah.
He says, "Cheers again, really enjoying the show, Josh." Well, thank you, Josh. And also, like,
thank you, Josh. You're a good dude.
Are in England, it only costs $1 to send a letter with stickers in there, so whatever.
Yeah, don't feel bad.
That's all the emails left for today. If you want to email in family@cageclub.me, we'll read it in 3 weeks on the next episode. We have a store, cageclub.me/shop, and if you have not yet done it, leave us a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts, please and thank you.
Please.
It's probably too late in the game to actually help us, but, you know, whatever. Joe, the final thing to do before we come back next week is extracurricular activities. It's been so long. Give us some highlights. What have you been up to in the last month?
I said that I was going to tell a story. In the past week, I had some fun time things happen to me. I was like, last week, I was like, oh, man, I have this weird pain in my shoulder. Man, I must have been, like, using my mouse and sitting weird in my computer chair. And then I was like, wow, that weird pain is now on my elbow and my shoulder. Damn, this must be a really weird knot in my back. So I was, like, bitching, and I used, like, the massage gun and some Icy Hot. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Rachel, this really hurts. She's like, whatever. And then Saturday, she looks at me and goes, what's on your arm? And I was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, man, I had this rash. And I was like, kind of looks like poison ivy. Wonder what happened. Maybe I brushed a plant or something. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I took some Benadryl, put some cortisone on it, and it didn't go away. And then 2 days later, I realized I had fucking shingles.
So cool.
It was sick. So yeah, for like the past week, I've been like banged up with fucking shingles. Yesterday, I just slept on the couch all fucking day. That's why we're recording a day late. Sucked. But in fun news, I saw Dune 2. I didn't get the Forbidden Fleshlight. Did you?
No, Bob said to me, hey, because I didn't go to AMC. He's like, if I...
I didn't either. I went to Cinemark.
Do you want me to buy one for you? Because I think it'd be something you would want to have. I'm like, yeah, that'd be nice. And he still hasn't seen the movie. So I'm assuming I'm not getting a popcorn, you know, the Fleshlight Dune.
The Forbidden Fleshlight. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also just like people just like, it's so hard to actually eat popcorn out of it. Like, it's not functional. Like, it's not good.
The Dom's charger was not going to be functional for popcorn either.
There was a friend of the show, Melissa Lynam, sent a link that like AMC was like having a sale on movie merch, like popcorn merch and stuff like that. Like, they had Dom's charger there, but like it was like, what was it, $50? But they had it for like maybe 20 or 30. Like, it had like half off, but I'm like, we already have it.
But we got popcorn with ours.
The Dune one was not.
Remember, we figured it out. It was like a large popcorn and a car. It was like $20 for the car. So like whatever they charged, that was the same price. Doesn't matter.
Well, when I saw Dune 2, my theater is trying to get rid of the Eras Tour stuff. So like, here's you can have the jumbo sized drink and popcorn.
Did you really?
For $10.
Oh, that's really cool. Awesome.
A drink is $7. So yeah. Like, a drink and a large popcorn for $10.
And the Eras Tour shits? That's really cool.
I
mean,
I already
really
have.
Cool.
Like, you can't see up there. But
I thought you were going to say they gave you the movie poster, like, from the wall. I was like, oh, that would be sick.
No, I wish. No. Just, like, the large popcorn bucket and the largest drink.
We saw it. When we saw Dune, we saw it in the D-box seats, because we have
it shakes?
Yeah, a vibrator seat. And which was a fun, weird experience. I wouldn't do that for every movie, but for Dune, it worked.
I heard it was great. I want you to confirm or deny. They said it was great for the worm riding, and the rest of it was kind of messy and chaotic.
Great for the worm riding, yes. Great for like any time that they're like jumping off a thing, into a thing, around a thing, yes, because the seat has pitch and yaw, which I didn't expect it to have. The rest of it was like, yeah, whatever, because it would just be like, you know, like somebody would hit somebody and then you'd be like, boom, you know, like your seat would just shake like one shake and it's like, whatever. But my friend, when I mentioned that to my friends, they were like, yo, if you would have had that in the popcorn bucket, you would have been for a wild ride. Alas, I did not. It was a Cinemark theater, so I only had one. But see it on a big screen. It was fun. We watched a few. We haven't blown through our Best Picture list this year because we had other shit. Like, we've been watching All of Love is Blind.
We only have 3 days.
I know. It's coming up quick. We watched Love is Blind, all of that except the last episode that just came out yesterday. We watched The Floor, Abbott Elementary's back on. We've been watching that. All of our trash TV shows, 90 Day. So we're just like, you know, in a nice place of just watching shit. Oh, also we started Mad Men, like as our show that when we have to do a chore.
Have you seen it before?
No. Neither have I have seen it before. Like, neither I nor Rachel.
That does not seem like your kind of show.
When you need to do something that takes, like, many, many hours over the course of, like, a couple weeks mm-hmm. that you don't really want to pay attention to, like, you don't need to, like, look at. We've been watching it like that. Very fulfilling in a way that you don't need to watch it, and we're just, like, listening to it like a weird audiobook. So we've been trudging through that. Pretty fun. And, I mean, it's just, like, we rewatched The Wire the last time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, you know, when we have this chore days, we just do that.
Saw Dune 2. Loved it. What else have I seen in theaters recently?
Dune 2 was good. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it, too.
I mean, if you like the first one, you like the second one. It's more of this. It's more of the same.
Sand porn.
I saw Madame Web in theaters, which was not
Did you see
good.
Lisa Frankenstein?
I saw Lisa Frankenstein at home.
Was it good?
I liked it a lot.
It looked cute.
It's very
yeah,
fun.
We kept seeing previews for it every time we were seeing movies, so...
Yeah, I was going to see it, and then it was gone in 2 weeks, but it's now on VOD, so I just watched it at home. I saw Driveaway Dolls, which is a movie directed by one Coen brother, directed by Ethan Coen, starring Margaret Qualley, who I love, and I'm fine. I liked it, but I didn't love it. It's kind of a little disappointing, but that's all right. Have I watched anything else of note? I saw Humanist Vampire Seeking Consenting Suicidal Person, which is kind of like this like cutesy vampire, like French vampire movie from this year, which is really good. I like that a lot.
Where's Kate when we need her?
She actually probably like it a lot. I watched a movie that came out last year called Fallen Leaves, which I think is nominated for maybe best foreign language film, which I liked a lot.
Okay.
That's a sort of a love story, but also kind of like a maybe Polish or something. It's just kind of like a not downer, but just like
talk to me about Zone of Interest. Because we didn't talk about it in film club. Why did you love Day in the Life of a Nazi?
You didn't like it.
I mean, it was a movie, but it was slice of life Nazi style next to Auschwitz.
I think it's fascinating because I think so few movies about World War II are told from the Nazis' point of view. So Bob and I read that.
That's cool. That's a
How to Win the Lottery. We did a season of books, half of which were deemed unadaptable and half of which were becoming movies. And that was one that we did becoming a movie because it was directed by Jonathan Glazer, who did Sex and Beast and Birth. And
it
Under
looks
the
beautiful.
Skin, and he's 3 for 3 and 4 for 4. Like, I think all of those are great.
Okay.
And the book was written by this guy, Martin Amis, who Bob really likes. He had not read this book, but he's read a handful of his other books. And in the book, it follows three perspectives. It follows the Nazi commander, it follows his wife, and it follows a German or a Jewish prisoner in the camp who has a relationship with the wife, like a sexual relationship with the wife.
Oh, so okay. Like that's not in the movie at all.
Radically different.
Who was hiding all the fruits?
Were
they hiding?
The daughter.
So the daughter of the commander.
Yeah.
It's the
unclear.
Night vision.
So when Bob and I saw this, we saw this Montclair Film Festival in October, and they had the main guy there for Q&A. And he said that when he was cast, Jonathan Glazer, the director, said, "Do not read the book. I'm doing my own thing. Like, it's based on the book, but it's not the book. And I don't want you to read the books. I want you to do your own thing." And so, like, it was so different. And then he talked about, like, the fruits. He talked about whatever. Like, I think the thing about the movie that's weird to me is, like, those, like, night vision scenes.
That's what I was saying. That's why I thought about the fruits. That the cut straight to modern day Auschwitz was kind of jarring.
No, I love that, but I think it should have ended there. I don't think it should have cut back.
Okay, fair. Yes. It's jarring because you go there and then come back.
I think there's something that's just like them like literally sweeping dust from a place like to preserve like a thing that like people were murdered, like millions
yes.
of people. It's
understood.
It's insane. But I think there's something really profound. I mean, the movie looks beautiful, sounds beautiful. I think there's something really profound about the banality of evil. Like, I think there is an argument to be made that the wife, who is also the lead actress in Anatomy of a Fall, she's having this like wild Oscar year.
Year, yeah.
Is more evil than her Nazi husband.
I agree, yes.
Like, there's
so
something
I know, I
really
did get that, and
fascinating
that
to
makes
me
sense.
About
yeah.
like him being like just doing a job. Like, his job is a terrible job, but he just like, I want to
is
be good
a Nazi,
at my job.
And she is like an actual shitbag.
Yeah. And like,
yeah.
He calls her, he's like, basically like, "Babe, I'm so excited, like, they're using my idea." And she's like, "Dude, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, go to like I'm going to bed."
And he's like, "No, but they're putting in the good gassing."
Yeah.
And I was like
my
okay
idea. And she's like, "I don't give a shit." And like how he is getting transferred to like get the promotion, she's like, "Well, I'm not moving, I like this house." Like, it's just like she's so mean.
And she's mean to, like, everybody that, like, works, like, that her helper, everything.
I also think there's, like, there's so much, like, evil where, like, all of those clothes that they're going through are all just, like, from dead Jewish women.
Yes. Yeah,
and it's just, like, they're just, like, sorting through things. And just, like, there's so much there that I think is just, like, so, like, being, like, sort of like a suburban drama, a relationship drama between a man and a wife, like, with a marriage that's not going very well, but also it's literally next door to Auschwitz and he's a Nazi. It's just, like, that's wild.
Okay.
But you don't like it.
It was a slice of life movie about Nazis. And I was like, okay. Some of the things that you said, I would like, these are interesting. These are interesting as a thought. As a feature length film, some of it was just like, why? And also, like, I don't, you know, I've said this before, I want movies that make me happy.
Yeah. This is, like,
this
the
is
biggest,
not one
biggest
of them.
Fucking bummer of the year.
Yes.
Like, I might never watch it again. I think
it's interesting. I'm glad that I saw it. I'm glad that we could talk about it. But at the same time, I'm like, yes, I'm 100% with you. I'm definitely never watching that movie again. And when everybody asked me, like, what was Zone of Interest about? I was like, slice of life movie about Nazis. And they're like, that sounds fun. I was like, it is.
I still haven't seen The Holdovers, which I'm going to watch this week. I'm going to watch on Saturday before the Oscars, on Sunday. I think it is easily the best made movie of the 10. Like, I don't think it's even close. I don't think there's a second. I don't know what the second best movie of the 10 would be. Maybe Oppenheimer, but I don't like Oppenheimer. And, like, that's, I think,
cinematography wise, top tier. Yeah.
I just think it would be very cool if that won, because I think it's just so clearly to me the best movie. But it doesn't have the story. You know, the story is Barbenheimer. The story is, I think it's kind of like a, like, I liked a lot of these movies, but I think it's kind of like a weak year for, like, things being nominated for Best Picture. But also,
I agree. It feels like that, yeah.
Because it also just felt like, we kind of talked about this when we were doing, like, Film Club, like, maybe even on here, it just, it feels like a lot of the picks for every category is just, like, the obvious things. Like, there's not really surprises. Like, they're like, oh, Margot Robbie got snubbed. It's like, yeah, but she was still nominated for producing the movie. Like, Greta Gerwig got snubbed. It's like, yeah, but she still got nominated for
director.
Writing, right? Like, it's,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
it's just like there's six people in every category and, like, five were, you know, it's just, I don't know. So, yeah, I love Zone. Okay. I mean, for as much as I can say I love Zone of Interest, I love Zone of Interest.
No, your points were excellent. Thank you. This is why I like talking to you about stuff like this. Like, what did you see with your eyes that maybe I don't see on the surface?
Yeah.
And I agree with your points that you made. And I do think it was a beautiful movie, as much as it can be a beautiful movie about Nazis that live next
to Auschwitz. I think that's, like, the point. Like, it's like the
that's the point,
right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Margaret and I did a few fun things this last month, too. We took our first little trip. We went to a place in upstate New York, which was very nice.
Where'd you go?
It's a little luxury hotel that she's had her eye on for a while. Ooh, that we went there.
Fun.
It was very cool. Very good food. Nice little sort of farmhouse vibes.
Awesome.
She and I went to the Devil's Stadium series.
Oh, that's right.
Devils play the Flyers at MetLife.
And you got Jonas Brothers.
We got Jonas
that
Brothers.
Day.
And
the next night, the next day was AJR, because I know people that went for the Rangers game the next day.
Oh.
And we are big AJR fans. Are you a big AJR fan?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. And it's just, like, fun, poppy. You would really like AJR.
Well, what was,
it's like,
cool
all
about it was, so, okay, there's a weird thing about it. The cool thing was that, like, they have them and they have a Gaslight Anthem, who are two big Jersey acts.
Yes.
They're like, we're Jersey Pride on Saturday because they were, you know, playing Giants Stadium, which is the New York Giants, but it's obviously in New Jersey. But they have this, like, the weird thing was they play this, like, video before, and they're like, only Jersey could do it. But they had, like, this video of, like, Messier scoring the goal in the 94 playoffs to knock the Devils out of the, it's just like, what are you doing? Like, that's not, but the whole video was, like, literally, like, Jersey Pride, like, we're home.
Once again, the NHL killing it.
That was fun. Like, you were saying that you went, when did you go? How many years ago did you go to? Where was it, in Philly?
I went to the Stadium Series, yes, when the Penguins played the Flyers in Philly. I'm pretty sure we were sitting next to someone who had just smoked meth. Yeah, they were just screaming the whole time. But the funniest part about it was, I remember there was this kid in front of me, and he's like, look, he's like, anybody that's from Philly is not really a giant douchebag. He was like, he was a Flyers fan. He turned around, he saw that we were all in Penguins shits. And he's like, look, anybody from Philly is, like, not really a giant douchebag. It's all these fuckers from South Jersey who are, like, the really annoying ones. And this kid a row in front of him yells, like, some insane profanity. Like, something that, like, made me, like, cringe. And he goes, hey, bud. and he's like, hey, and he's like, he like starts talking to him, and he goes like, where are you from? And he's like, South Jersey. And he turns around and looked at me and was like, told you. And I was like, and I lost it. It was so beautiful. Like, he couldn't have written it better. So, yeah, that was my experience in the Stadium Series. It was also terrible because it rained and, like, six Penguins got injured. Like, Chris Letang broke his neck because it was raining. We gave up, like, three goals at the end of the game to, like, go to overtime and lost. It was, like, one of the worst experiences I could have had besides the Stadium Series. Like,
this was very cool, but it's very weird. You were saying, like, it's a cool experience, but, like, a weird way to watch. Like, they have the ice rink.
It's not very much about the game.
Yeah.
So you're very far away. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize how small the ice rink is until you put it in the middle of a football field, because when you're at a arena that is hosting hockey, it's like, oh, this is much better. And, like, all the angles are weird because the seats aren't set up for it. So, like, I know that you had a pretty good view, but you can see that there's a lot of, like, really bad views.
Yeah, like, because it's a football stadium, so, like, you can be, like, way – there's 70,000 people there. So you can be, like, way up in the nosebleeds and be, like –
but that's still a better view than you being, like, low,
yeah,
and,
true,
like, it on an end, because you're, like, 50 feet away, but the same height, you can't see shit, and then there's boards. Yeah, it's just, like, it's for spectacle. It's very cool for spectacle, but not very good for viewing hockey games.
Well, what was weird, is I was saying to you, is that, like, when you're in a hockey arena, like, when you're playing in the Rock where the Devils play, like, when a goal is scored, the people at the goal, like, no, it's a goal. Like, here, there's, like, a full second or two before people realized, because you're not close enough to, like, you're, like, the remove is just, like, there's a weird
you're on delay. You're on a delay. Yes, I agree. It is different, but it's interesting, and it's spectacle, and I think everybody should go see one once if they can, just for fun.
Yeah. I saw, like, on Instagram, like, almost literally every Devils fan I know was there. Like, it's just, like, you can get a ticket,
yeah, because
there's so many, you know what I mean? Like, it just,
yeah, there's so many tickets. Yeah, it's fun and easy. It's fun.
And then we also saw, I bought, so Joe Pera has a podcast called Drifting Off with Joe Pera, and okay, it's designed as a sleep podcast because his whole thing is, like, very tranquil talking. And they sold tickets as live podcast taping in Brooklyn, and they're like, we don't really know what it's gonna be, we're trying to figure out if we can do this live. And it was really long. It was, like, almost like 2 hours, but they had a couple comedians there, and they sort of did some greatest hits sort of stuff from the podcast. And it was very, okay, funny. Like, it wasn't a really, like, super ironed out show. But I had a really good time. And Margaret liked some of it, which is important, not all of it. She's like, is the way he talks just, is that a bit? I'm like, I don't know. Don't know. He never breaks it if he does.
I think it's a bit. But yes.
But he shuffles like an old man. He kind of talks. I don't know. It's you know.
I think it's a bit. Yeah.
We also watched a lot of space movies this past weekend. We finished High Life with Robert Pattinson.
Oh, yeah. High Life. Yeah, I know this one.
Really good. We watched Trip to the Moon from 1902. So we had just covered, you know, on this podcast, Last Lap, Rival of a Train at La Ciotat. This is now Georges Méliès, French director, 15-minute Trip to the Moon, which is, again, considering it's 122 years old, unbelievable. And then we watched 2001, and we watched Solaris, and we watched Sunshine, which he loves. All good movies. So
cool.
Nice little fun space weekend. Oscars on Sunday, as the main feed hears, as they will have happened.
Yes.
So congratulations to the Zone of Interest, Best Picture winner.
Yeah.
But yeah, baseball coming up soon, which I'm very excited about. But that's all I got.
Yes, 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 yes.
Anything else to say in extracurricular activities or anything else in this episode?
No, just if you're still listening, thanks.
Thanks. Our next episode is Too Fast, Too Furious with Walt and Kim, and our next pit stop after that is Little Shop of Horrors from 1986, our next 80s cult classic.
Rachel's very stoked for this lap because she says she wants to watch a bunch of these movies with me. And watch me watch these movies.
Oh, so. Rachel texted. I forgot. I didn't text her back because, like, she texted me after I was asleep. And the next morning or whatever, she's just like, I made the mistake of saying to Joe, I don't like Harmony Korine as much as he does. And now I have to rewatch all of his movies with him. I'm like, you should.
Because I was like,
I want to say, you should know by now, don't say things like that. Just keep it to yourself.
Because I was like, your opinion is wrong and we must fix this. And so she was not happy because I was like, Aggro Drift looks fucking sick. This is what it is. And she's like, it's not for me. And I was like, you're wrong.
The scene in Dune 2 where Elvis, Austin Butler, Fade Rafa in that black and white arena. I'm like, Aggro Drift is going to be so cool.
It's going to be so fucking sick. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Rachel might hate it, but like, it's going to be cool.
It's going to be cool. I might have to just see it just with you and whatever Bodega Strip Club combo that he plays in.
Man, I want to see that so bad.
Same. I really, really do.
Thank you for listening. If you want to email in again, I'll go do the whole outro thing, but email in family@cageclub.me. We got Too Fast, then Little Shop of Horrors, and then the next Life in the Fast Lane. So do that thing. But for all things Too Fast, Too Forever, go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/TooFastTooForever, or @TooFastTooForever on all the platforms. Email us, like I just said, family@cageclub.me. Check out our Patreon page.
Do it.
TooFastTooForever.com and our store. @cageclub.me/shop and come back next week for Walton Kim's triumphant return to talk about Too Fast, Too Furious, where we will finally watch that 100th minute.
Thanks.
I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too.
And we will tell you all about it
when we see you next.